And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
All right, that's me. We're ready to go. We've got good stuff to talk about like we do every day. Here we are. Credit cards, debit cards, prepaid cards, secured credit, your credit, easy credit. How do we get you some credit? Everybody right now is talking about this in the news with some of the celebrity credit cards or prepaid cards. We'll get to that, a little bit about that on the show. Talk about the national debt and what's going on there. But before we do all that, there is a real good opportunity to talk about what happened all of last week. And so here he is with the
fastest 5 minutes in finance. With Scott Connor.
That's pretty cool.
Here I am.
There you are. I heard that you hear the money fall in that little...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I know that you're just dying to review last week. Make sure you talk, Scott, though, about Saudi Arabia, Iran, oil, housing, downgrades in Europe, Greece, and maybe a little bit what's going on with treasuries. You got all that in 5 minutes?
Not quite all that. Most of it. I do have quite a bit of it, though. The week of January 9th, not a bad week, really. The Dow was up 0.5%. S&P up 0.9%. NASDAQ had a pretty good week, up 1.4%. A lot of that was based on good domestic news. We had a report on Friday from the University of Michigan that said consumer sentiment was pretty strong. The Fed Beige Book came out on Wednesday, which said that basically every region in the country is experiencing at least moderate economic growth. So domestically, things look pretty good. We did have some disappointing retail sales numbers that came out last week and a couple of other little things, but...
Now, your number, you said about 0.5% for the week?
On the Dow, yes.
Okay, so, you know, what we had last week was this market where we didn't see any of these multi-hundreds of point swings.
Right.
We had what we call those David days, which are the up 50, down 50, yep. Up 70, down 40. Now, when you string them all together for the whole week, you gave us what, 0.5%?
0.5% on the Dow, almost a full point on the S&P.
Well, now, here's what's really interesting. I'll use the Dow number because it's half.
Yeah.
0.5% for just 1 week. If we have these modest days, 0.5% in 1 week times 50 weeks would be 25% return.
Right.
I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, that's not even compounding.
Exactly. So yeah. That's just a raw. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot if you don't have a big 500-point drop.
That's right. Now, Friday could have gone either way. Friday was a little bit dicey because on Friday, Standard & Poor's came out and they cut France's debt rating. They did it after the market, but everybody knew it was going to happen. So they cut the debt rating in France from a AAA to a AA+, also downgraded 8 other countries, including Italy and Spain. Portugal was downgraded all the way into what we are now calling below investment grade credit. We used to call
that
junk.
It's junk. Oh, it's called below investment grade. Is that a new political term?
Well, it was junk for a while, and then it was high yield for a while.
See, I like high yield.
And now it's below investment
grade. That makes me just feel all warm and fuzzy.
There's more of an upside to it.
Friendly and, you know.
Yeah, junk is just bad all around. But still a lot of – so that's a sort of an ongoing concern. They also came out on Monday, Standard & Poor's did, and downgraded the EFSF, which we probably should talk about just to give some context around
that. Yeah, because that sounds like a radio station to me.
Yeah, but it's big news. It's not big news that S&P downgraded them, but it will be big news if they get downgraded from Fitch or Moody's, and I can give you all the details on that. But the more immediate problem still is coming out of Greece. 14 billion euro bond maturity payment due at the end of March. And talks on the so-called haircut or how they were going to get through this payment completely broke down last week and are basically on hold until Wednesday.
You know, one thing I am impressed with Greece and their leadership there is they are playing one heck of a game of poker. Yeah. I mean, they're the ones that are in default, or not, excuse me, they're not in default yet, but they're on the brink of default.
Yeah.
And they're, they're talking with everybody like, hey, what's the big deal? We'll work this out. And, you know, their prime minister said there is little pause in these discussions.
A little pause.
But I'm confident that we will continue and we will reach an agreement that is mutually acceptable in time.
There's only a $14 billion bill that just came in the mail, but it's just a little pause.
So here you go. And this is, I'm reading this from Reuters. The banks say that Athens is not the problem and that they're suggesting this issue relies in terms insisted on by those darn foreign lenders.
Of course.
Yeah, it's the lender's fault.
It's the darn foreign lenders that have helped us just put ourselves into this spot.
So what you're telling me is that Greece is still the word.
Yeah.
And they're just not out of the woods.
Yeah, they have big problems with this. March 20th, 14.5 billion euros come due. They have to write a check to bondholders for that amount. Everybody knows they don't have it, including the bondholders.
So the question is, whose money are they going to write a check with?
And how much of it?
You know, they could get one of those prepaid debit cards.
They could.
That might work.
I mean, there might be some negative fees, return. Yeah, they could. But, you know, so what they're trying to do now is tell the bondholders, listen, I know I owe you 14.5 billion euros, but will you take 7 billion and we can just call it square?
But we'll tell you what the interest is later.
We'll tell you what
and
the interest is later.
We're not going to pay $7 billion.
Yeah, you get part of it now, part of it 30 years from now, after an interest rate that we determine at another point.
At a future date.
Yeah. And in the meantime, a lot of these bondholders are hedge funds who also have insurance. So it's actually... it doesn't matter.
There's
to them.
No real incentive for them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, why would they take 50 cents on the dollar when they have insurance that tells them they'll get a dollar on the dollar?
So let me see if I get this right. I can take your deal and get a 50% haircut, not knowing really where I'm going to get the rest of the money.
Right.
Or I can just sit pat, not do anything.
Watch you default.
And stand by the agreement we have, watch you default and get 100 cents on my dollar.
Right.
And they want to know why that there is this impasse in the talks. There is this little pause.
Yeah, little pause.
God bless.
Yeah, it's a mess.
How about you pay your bills? How about that?
So the EFSF, which we'll talk about, is basically the bailout fund. Their credit rating got downgraded. If they get downgraded again, then all these countries in Europe are supposed to pony up more money for guarantees. All those countries just got downgraded, so their interest rates just went up, so they have to borrow money to put into the EFSF. So meanwhile, Germany's sitting back saying, what are you talking about?
Why are we doing this?
Yeah, why?
And you know who's really sitting back going, thank God I didn't do that, is Great Britain.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because they could have.
Oh, they sure could have.
And a lot of people think they should
have. And they have pounded the table since then saying, we never will.
Yeah, and this is why.
Yeah.
Man, what a difficult spot to be in. And you know, I was going to say, there is now, all of that is kind of dominating. Housing, just real quick, housing is upbeat. Sale of existing homes, we've got a report out from USA Today. Sale of existing homes are expected to go up 12% for the year after only a 2% last year. So 12% increase for 2012. And we're looking at a substantial number of homes to be sold. So there is some stuff going on. It's just getting overshadowed by Greece and Europe and downgrades. And
yeah, there's good stuff domestically. We have real problems overseas, though.
Well, we'll come back after this break and talk more about these things going on and how it affects people's money. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Well, we talked before the break about what's going on overseas. And now we need to talk about what's going under or on under the seas.
Yeah.
Boy, I really did that beautifully.
It was smooth. Speaking of smooth, the captain of the Costa Concordia is in jail. That's the cruise liner in Italy that ran aground. But I know you wanted to talk a little bit about how news like that affects portfolios and investments and things like that. And it has a pretty broad ripple effect, really.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. The ship is owned by Carnival Cruise Lines. They're saying just this accident itself is going to cause $85 to $95 million loss on their earnings for 2012.
Just by not being able to operate the ship.
Just strictly by not being able to operate the ship. A Deutsche Bank analyst named Simon Champion came out and he said the real problem is that all this news causes a reduced demand for cruise holidays. That'll be the most significant issue. It comes at the worst possible time for Carnival because this is their heaviest booking season. So all this news that's out there every single day, and every time you look at that picture of the ship listing over to its side, really hurts their overall volumes.
Well, it's a 160-foot gash in the side of the boat.
Yeah, it's definitely a big problem. And then on top of that, not only is it an earnings hit to Carnival, but it's also a problem for the companies that insure the boat, as well as those that insure the liability and the injury. So there are a couple of companies that the boat itself is insured for about $513 million. I'm sure I should be calling it a ship, but it's insured for $513 million. Beyond that, they're saying that the total liability to Carnival is closer to probably $1 billion when you build in the injury and other liabilities, particularly with the death liabilities. Could make it the biggest marine loss ever absorbed by the cruise industry.
That's horrendous.
$1 billion.
Well, and we're talking about the financial impact here, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, the more important impact is the loss of life.
Of course.
I think we've got six people.
Yeah.
Something like
confirmed
that.
Confirmed six.
Confirmed
still
that have been killed, yeah. And it's very sad. And so we're not making light of this subject. It's very sad for their families. For the shareholders of Carnival, and even though Royal Caribbean had nothing to do with it, they also took a hit on their stock.
Yeah, about 17% on the London Exchange on
That's
Monday.
For Carnival.
For Carnival.
And then Royal Caribbean got knocked down, and they didn't have anything to do with it, and they lost 7% on their stock. Now, the number that's amazing is the amount of value that was lost for Carnival was $1 billion to the company's value itself, that 16, 17%.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, that means the company's worth maybe $6 billion or so.
Yeah,
and they
big.
Lost 1/6 of their value.
Yeah, that's big. And then it goes on to other, you know, the insurance companies and the reinsurance companies. Hanover Re, which is a big reinsurance company, came out and they said they're on the hook for at least probably $10 million or so. They claim that to be a significant claim for them.
You know what the problem is they're going to recover like a lot of industries do in the long term.
Yeah.
But the problem they'll have is in the short term, it's going to be hard because you'll have people, again, a lot of people wanting to book and all of that, but you have people that have been, maybe their wife has been after them to get go on a cruise, you know?
Yes,
Scott,
I
you know what I'm talking about?
That. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I know that.
And I know what that's all about. So to my wife, I can say, what's the name of the boat?
The Costa
Concordia.
Concordia.
Okay, the Costa Concordia. That will be my answer to her from now on when she asks me about going on a cruise.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going.
Yeah, but prices are getting slashed. Well, they're already
gonna,
being cut.
Exactly. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, again, a lot of times when things like this happen, it's very raw and real. But then as time goes on, we settle in. And you know what? We hate to pass up a good deal.
Yeah.
So there will be some real, that's what people can take from this, is that there will be some good deals that come along that are out there. Now, speaking of the seas, I'll try to do this segue better. We have what's going on in the Middle East with the Strait of Hormuz and Iran and Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia's gotten into the fray a little bit here.
Yeah, they're targeting oil prices.
Saudi Arabia said, hey, look, if Iran doesn't pump its oil or you guys don't buy it or they don't ship it or they close off the strait, or they try to do it partially, we'll step up and we're going to target $100 a barrel.
Right.
So I think they said they could probably pretty easily replace the 2 million or so barrels that Iran is producing right
and
now.
And they'll just keep pumping. So basically, all this nonsense coming out of Iran, it's all going to end up being just meaningless because we know they can't close the Strait of Hormuz even if they try to.
They don't want to do that.
And they can't shut down their oil exports because it's the only thing they have to make any money. And then even then, on top of that, Saudi Arabia says, do whatever you want. We can solve any problem you throw at us. We got it, you know, covered. So
I saw a report, and I'm trying to find it quickly. I could reference the proper sourcing here. But I read a report that China has kind of quietly already reduced the amount of oil it imports from Iran by half.
Yeah,
so far this year.
A lot of that is the nuclear bomb issue. I mean, everybody's worried about them with the nuclear bomb, and there are a fair number of stories out there that say they're closer than most of the world thinks.
But isn't that the way it always is? You know, that they're you know, that the object in your mirror may be closer, may be larger than it appears.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is with technology. And, you know, I had to get a new computer the other day, and I couldn't believe the technological advance, you know, because we deal with computers all day, but I'm not in there, you know, like Lisa, our technology expert, opening up those boxes. I haven't opened up a computer box in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the technological advance is just coming so rapidly that would have been, you know, very difficult to sneak across the border 5 or 10 years ago, you know, can, you know, go across the border in your contact lens, you know, as a secret hiding place, you know. So the technology is just making leaps and bounds. So I think there are some real concerns, and oil jumped up already. The prices got up to what before the markets closed last trading day, what, about 110, 111 bucks?
Yep.
So we may see, even with Saudi Arabia and some of the other countries that try to stabilize pricing, and, you know, Saudi Arabia is going to pump and sell as much as they can, we still may see an impact at the price. In fact, I've already seen a jump up of about 10, 15 cents at my station that I go to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we all need oil. It just, I think, further solidifies the idea that we have to come up with a domestic solution. I know we talked about natural gas quite a bit last week. I'd like to see some further usage of that product.
Well, maybe again, it's always, there's always a, you know, the thing with capitalism, which I applaud, and I think most people do, is that where there's a will, there's a way. When there's cash, there's a way.
Yeah.
And so when things have a way of naturally adjusting, and that is when we see something like this happen, oil and other things go up, we will see other parts respond.
Yep.
And so that's how it works. Now, Scott, I'd like you to stick around. There's a little bit more to talk about with what's going on. Big thing happening that I think a lot is kind of underneath the surface, again, with all these other things happening, is treasuries.
Yeah, okay.
So let's stick around. I don't usually keep you after this next break, but stick around, and we'll talk a little bit about what's happening with U.S. treasuries.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional, and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN. To schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Let's get to it. Lisa gave me the high sign. I was like, hey, wait a minute, are we ready? I asked Scott to stick around for a little bit of extra time today because there's been some interesting things happening with U.S. Treasuries that kind of has been not talked about as much because all of the European zone with their downgrades and their higher interest rates, and Hungary's going through some challenges too, trying to get its stuff, bonds sold. The whole European Union, no matter what part you're talking about, is having more difficulty selling their bonds and they're having to pay a higher rate.
Right,
it's unsustainable in the long term.
Which certainly affects our treasury market.
Because what happens? People...
Because people looking for safety.
They go to us looking for safety.
Or they go to Germany.
Germany is also a bit of a safe haven as well.
But our 10-year treasury yield is down to 185.
So that means if somebody buying a 10-year treasury today will get paid 1.85%, so below 2%.
Yeah, if they hold it to maturity.
Yeah. Now, most people would say, okay, well, that's I can see the good and the bad. The good is that it's cheaper for our government to borrow.
Yeah.
That's good, right? Because we seem to want to borrow as much as we can get our hands on.
Yeah, I guess it's okay. I'd like to see a disincentive to borrow.
Well, we'd like to see, and I'm going to talk about that in our final segment today about the national debt, because we passed an important milestone. But the flip side of that is it affects everything. It affects what bonds pay.
Yep.
It
CDs,
affects
mortgage
CDs,
rates.
It has an impact on a lot of things. Now, CDs are not directly tied to the treasuries. They're tied to what banks can earn on the their prime rates and all of that,
yeah.
which is more affected by what they can earn on what they with the Fed and that. But they're still all related because it's all fixed income stuff.
Well, the Treasury market is not made up of individual investors buying 10-year Treasuries and hanging on to them. It's made up of institutional investors that have all this money, and it has to go someplace. So a lot of folks watch the Treasury market to get an idea of what's happening in the stock market. And when you see Treasury yields drop really significantly like that, it tells you that money is coming out of the stock market and looking for a safer place.
Well, that's a good question, Scott. Is it coming from the stock market? So is it coming from the equity side, the risk side of the house, over to what is perceived to be riskless, which is U.S. Treasuries? Or is it money that is being, I got to use a fancy word, I love to use it every now and then, I don't get to use it very often, repatriated? Money's coming back to the U.S., or money's coming from overseas to U.S. to buy those U.S. Treasuries instead of buying European debt?
Yeah,
I think it's both.
I think more than anything, it's a true flight to safety. There
okay,
are a
so you
lot
think it's just people flat out?
Yeah,
and maybe they're nervous because of the market being shaky because of the European debt.
Right, and when we talk about tens, keep in mind that Chairman Bernanke is selling tens and using the proceeds to buy 30s. So that tells you that there is actually some support in there that wouldn't exist naturally.
He's selling or buying?
He's selling.
He's
tens.
Selling, so he's making more quantity available of 10 years.
Yeah, right. Okay. And the yield is still coming down.
Wow.
So that tells you that the buying pressure on tens is tremendous. It's more than what is reflected in the yield because the Fed is selling those
tens.
So
the Fed's got a bunch of the 10-year treasuries in its own inventory.
Right.
And it's selling those off, saying, here, you can have them, and I'll use that money to buy the 30s.
To buy 30s. That's what they call Operation Twist, but...
See, I thought that was Chubby Checker, but
No,
another show. Well, the reality is that for a lot of people looking for safety, because what happens is, as you said, you're right, Scott, the institutional buyer or the mutual fund company, the Bill Grosses of the world with PIMCO and such, they're buying those bonds and they're holding them in mutual funds. And the mutual funds that we hold managing money for clients, there are certainly treasuries and other types of bonds in there.
And insurance companies.
And insurance companies, which is a big impact on annuities. We were talking on the break a little bit about the impact on annuities. And, this affects everything. And the insurance companies are buying. What are they buying? Well, they're buying treasuries. They're buying corporate bonds. They're buying all kinds of bonds. And so eventually it trickles down and it affects the rate that insurance companies earn. So what does that do to your insurance premium? You think it's going to make it going to go up or down? You think they're going to pass along some savings? There are no savings to pass along.
Yeah, well, and even worse, as margins come down, the spread where they really make their profit gets tighter and tighter.
It gets really tight, and so then that puts a squeeze. But they insurance companies and other institutions are expecting and have always built their model on these spreads that are a function of earning a certain amount of money. So they're able to offer insurance at whatever rate, or they're offer a, we're talking on the break about fixed annuities, where a fixed annuity right now, a 5-year fixed annuity might pay around 3%. Now that doesn't sound very exciting when you have inflation, 3.5 or whatever it's going to shake out to be for 2012.
But it's safe and it's tax deferred.
It's safe and it's tax deferred, but believe it or not, it's double the rate of the average CD.
Right.
And that's just amazing. So these things do have an impact. And so it's causing a lot of people to rethink how they approach their finances. We've got a lot of people that we're meeting with right now. And I know you don't really see all of this in, ladies and gentlemen, Scott is in the, in the investment department of our office. And so he's helping to, more than helping, he is managing our portfolios and has input from me and some of the other people involved in the office, but he doesn't necessarily see the front end of the planning that we do for clients, where we're figuring out what products and services are going to be appropriate, and we may manage it. We recommend we manage part of their account for a fee, or maybe part goes into annuity, or we take care of long-term care. And so as we're building these portfolios and this overall plan for people, we're seeing a lot of people saying, why keep the money earning 0.5%, 1%, when I can get something better with annuity, or I can at least say, do me better with a conservative investment portfolio. Make me some money, Scott, instead of, the flip side of all of this is, it's like, we're trying to make this, everybody's making a move to safety, or enough people are to make that have an impact. Well, ironically, by doing that movement to safety, then people aren't making money, and they're like, well, maybe I will go back a little bit to the market. So that herd mentality, it's, I guess, there's a flip side to it, that it can be counterproductive.
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to see that behavior probably until we have some type of resolution on this upcoming Greek bond payment, because it's such a big deal.
I hate to say it, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull it out.
Yeah, I'm not either. But I mean, we've been dealing with the Greek crisis since 2010, let's not forget. So it's not new news, and they have gotten awfully good at figuring out a way out of it, you know, with the help of France and Germany and the EFSF and the IMF.
Well, the question is, will they continue to be able to get the help they need? Well, we'll talk more about this and other things after the break.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon, or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter, and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help, or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
And it is one heck of a warning I have for you today. Pretty somber. I sound like I'm doing some sort of somber show here. Not really, but the somber question or challenge we face is our growing national debt. And, you know, we talked before the break with Scott about treasuries and everything else, and the reason we're selling those 10-year treasuries and 30-year bonds and all of that is because we need more and more debt to support our country's spending and to support the existing debt. We passed an important milestone here recently, a few days ago, in fact, where our debt hit the level of our country's gross domestic product, our GDP. We passed the $15 trillion mark, where we have as much debt as our country produces in all of its goods and services during an entire year. Now, that seems a little out of touch. I'll make it real, real, real quick. The interest on the debt for 2011 was $450 billion. That interest, if we didn't have the debt, could be paid, could pay for schools, could pay for all kinds of things to improve our country, to, you know, help everyone, you know, the whole lift everybody by education and all of those things. So we are in a tough spot. And, you know, I was reading another report that came out. I don't know, I was looking through my stack of stuff here for you to give you the reference, but it was citing the this debt issue and looking at how there are loopholes across the board all over the place. I remember one that was about one of the rum companies gets a tax subsidy for $7 or $8 billion that's for producing rum. Hey, you know what? They sell rum. That's how they make their money. They don't need any tax subsidies. These things cost real money. So there's all kinds of loopholes and all these things in the tax code. The tax code needs to be rewritten. And that's why I think we need something a lot simpler and a lot cleaner and a lot easier to understand, which I will talk about on another show. Thanks for joining me today.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go.
soul to the company store.